open to listen to what you have to say to us through him. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Hi. Well, I've got feel quite vulnerable with the word this morning that I've got to bring, because I haven't got a nice structured PowerPoint to hide behind. And normally I would do a quite structured teach, and then people then expect me to have a few individual words for them. And that isn't going to be like that this morning. Because what I'm going to be doing this morning is just sharing some stuff on my heart that God's laid on my heart for the whole of this congregation and the whole of the church. And therefore, I'm not going to muddle that with individual words, because I believe God wants to speak to every individual person who's part of Hope Church this morning. And I'm just trusting that something in what I say, which will be a mixture of stuff God's spoken to me, stuff of my own personal story and journey, that somehow the Spirit will just take some of that and land into people's hearts directly from the Spirit. So that's where we go in this morning. And I just want to read one scripture, and that's Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. And it said, this is he, it was talking about John the Baptist, who was the prophet that was called to come before Jesus. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Now, I had a talk planned for today on dreams and visions. That was what you were going to get. It was all nicely sorted out on the PowerPoint. And sitting in the advance prayer meeting 2 weeks ago, trying to compete with the Zumba music that was blasting through the floor. I'm a person who needs silence to kind of operate. I just felt I had this encounter with God. You know when God just comes to you sometimes and he just, boom, just speaks into your heart. I don't know if anyone's felt that or sensed that, but that happened to me. And I just felt God speaking to me, and almost like giving me a new commission for my life, a new call, a new thing for me. And he said, and I felt it was for this congregation, but for the church as well, that it was calling to say, prepare the way for the move of the Spirit that's coming. So that's the talk this morning. Prepare the way for the move of the Spirit that is coming. I don't know whether some of us are sensing that there's something new coming, and I just feel that what God's saying to us is do that. And then later on in the advance, when we were moving on, we had a time where we just invited the Spirit of prophecy just to fall upon all of us and just to come and for God to speak through all of us. And what happened was is that the people began to share what they felt God was saying, one after the other, and all sorts of stuff was coming out. But there was a theme that started coming out. There were several themes, actually. There were three themes. But there was one theme that I'm picking up on because of what I'd heard before. And there was the theme that started coming out about preparing the way for the Spirit to move. Yeah, there's a number of people. I mean, Daniel brought it in his prophecy. There's a whole load of others. This wasn't Gordon the prophet prophesying here. I was the scribe, actually, writing it down. The body was prophesying. And God was saying, prepare. So I'm just going to start this talk this morning, just almost like laying a foundation for us to move into of what prepare is. It's not the whole this morning isn't prepare and then we move on. So I kind of got this into three bits that structured what was a complete smorgasbord of all sorts of thoughts and stuff, and I put them into three. And the first one is prepare the place. Prepare the place. A number of years ago, those of us that have been in Hope for a while felt God speaking to us about preparing to have a building. Yeah, those of us will remember that. And I remember we were meeting at this point in the sixth form college. And God said to us to start preparing and planning for having a building and to start doing stuff to prepare for a building. And we also felt him say there was going to be one more move, then we would have the building. And that happened, one more move, which went into the Nunnery Wood High School, and then with the granary. And the granary building here is now complete. It's been hard work, nearly killed Jim. He's still here. But it's been really hard work could do in the granary. But the completion of the granary, sorry, Jim, the completion of the granary is actually just the first step. Yeah? It's not, oh, that's it, we're in now. That's what we've been here for. It's actually the first step. Just like John the Baptist was saying, prepare a place for God, prepare a path. It's almost like that was like clearing up some rubble that was needed. It was like, it was hard work, and you know, but that was just the first step. God is preparing us now for a move of the Spirit to come. And these are the stuff that I felt, some of the stuff I felt on my heart. I feel we've got three congregations, haven't we, at the moment, that meet in the granary. And I just felt God just speak prophetically into my heart and say that he's actually going to multiply us into five across the whole of the city, way back before. That's what I felt in my heart. We're actually going to multiply into five congregations across the city. The capacity of the granary, this room here, has actually been God's capacity to stop us becoming one big mega-sized congregation, but to actually limit the congregation size to do that. Yeah? Because God wants us spread as congregations across the city. And also that God doesn't want an audience, because that's what we'd have if we had this big, massive, single congregation, but he wants a body. Yeah? Three congregations is stretching, isn't it, for people doing stuff. Imagine five. Yeah, that's what God has got for us. So that leads on to my second point that I've got. I thought I was saying preparing the people. Preparing the people for the move of the Spirit. And I'm going to ask two questions for you to answer into your hearts. These are questions for just I'm going to ask, just to answer. First question is, why are you here? The second question is, what are you doing here? Sound like the same question, but they're actually subtly quite different questions. One of them is, what's the journey that brought you to this place? The second one is, what has God called you to be part of here? Similar, but not the same. And that's where we're going with most of this talk this morning. So the first one is, what's your journey that brought you here? How did you get here? Let's just ask a question around this room. Margaret, you're not going to be able to respond to this one. I'm really sorry. But I ask the question, who has started coming to Hope Church in the last 5 years? Margaret and Jeff have been here for a lot longer. Yeah? Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Look at that. None of you people 5 years ago were with us there when we were in that congregation, and I don't know what the answer from the 9:15 would be, but probably quite similar. And the 6 o'clock, again, probably quite similar. All of you have come here for a purpose. And you'll have all had a journey that brought you here. But it isn't to be part of an audience. It might be that you thought, oh, I want a new church, I want whatever. But actually, I believe that God has brought you here for a purpose. God has drawn you to this place. And I just feel that God wants to start stirring us in our hearts now to say, you're part of this move of the Spirit that's coming, and that God has called you to be here for this purpose. And I'm just going to do a little bit of personal story about my journey of how I got here. And maybe some of this will land with you, or I just find it a bit hard telling my own stories. It sounds like I'm just talking about myself, but I just felt on my heart to share some of my story that brought me here. I've been here 20 years now, but this was my story that got me to this place. And maybe there's something in that that some people here can catch hold of. I was brought up in a very unusual family, and I'm not going to go into that. We were pretty poor. It wasn't very functional. It wasn't that a nice environment. And I somehow became a Christian, gave my life to Jesus at 8 years old. And by the time I hit my teens, I was incredibly shy. My background, probably part of it. I was a skinny little kid who used to say to me, "Gordon, so thin he has to run around to get wet in the shower." And I was bullied at school, big binocular glasses. I was a little kid like that, very shy. Was terrified of the school register because you had to speak your name out in front of people. That was me. And I've told you some of the rest of this bit of the story before, but I'm going to repeat it again. I attended a church, but when at school there were these other Christians there, and they talked about Jesus in a totally different way to my experience. I loved Jesus, I was a follower of Jesus, but they talked about the power of the Spirit in their lives. They talked about the supernatural of God in their lives. They talked about a thing called speaking in tongues. They prayed for one another when they were sick and they were healed. It was totally different. Now, I was far too shy to do much other than just observe that. But I knew that these people had something. So I, lying in bed one night in the bunk bed, my brother above, I started praying and I started asking Jesus, this thing that they've got, if that's for me, I'd really like it. Now, my own self-worth didn't actually think that Jesus would want to actually give this to me. Yeah? And I was lying there in the world, and then this presence of God came on me in a way I'd never experienced before. And out of my mouth, I started speaking this other language. I was speaking in tongues, like this bursting dam that just came out. My brother in the bed above was freaked out because he had no idea what was going on. That was happening. I was probably in my early teens then, early to mid-teens. I can't give you the exact date. But the next one, I can give you the next day. Then I encountered something then. And the next significant thing on the journey was when I was age 17. This was in the 1980s. I was age 17. And by that time, I had my own bedroom. And I was lying in bed one night, and I felt the presence of God just come into the bedroom. And that wasn't usual for me. I didn't experience that. I felt tense presence of God come into the bedroom. It was just really intense. I mean, the thing was, afterwards, for years afterwards, I thought I'd backslidden because that didn't happen every time I prayed. I didn't realise that. It was a really intense experience. And then I saw, like, this image, picture that we now call a vision. And this picture was of of the UK. And there was, like, an angel over the UK. And I saw, in this picture, many thousands of people turning to Jesus. Just loads of people turning to Jesus. I mean, it was just like, this was a spotty, shy 17-year-old kid. Remember that? This is not some preacher's son or, you know, like that. You know, this is who I was. This was like incredible. What is this? And then I felt God speaking to my heart. This is not me showing off. This is what happened. I felt God say to me, I'm calling you to be a prophet. This is a guy who can't register, right? Right, that means speaking, right? I'm calling you to be a prophet. And my mouth started burning up intensely. Yeah. This was what happened to me. I was 17. little shy kid like that, that was happening to me. And then I started reading these articles written by people who were called prophets, in one in particular, a guy called Dave Mansell. And this is where I want you to stay with me. Because in these articles, this prophet guy, who was an international prophet, he was well known in that time, he traveled the world, he would all sorts of miracles, stuff like that. He wrote this articles about a different sort of church that he'd seen. This is the 1980s, by the way. And he wrote these articles about a church being a prophetic people that didn't just operate from in meetings and buildings, but were a whole body filled with the supernatural power of God, that were in the community, that were in the streets, that were in one another's homes, that were at work, that were seeing the supernatural of God everywhere they were, bringing Jesus and demonstrating Jesus and many people turning to Jesus. And he basically said the church, that is what the church is. It's a body that's supernatural like that. It's not big preachers at the front. It's not kind of influencing society from the top, but it's this salt and light everywhere. And as I read that caught with that vision that I'd seen, and something burned in my heart. And I just thought, I am called to be that kind of perfect, that kind of person. This is the thing that's inside me. This is what God's called me. So I was a shy teenager. Remember that. Keep remembering that. So I thought, I'm going to have to tell the elders of the church I'm part of about this. Right? And I was scared to do that. It was scary for me to make an appointment to see these elders of the church. Now, they were nice people, don't get me wrong. And they're not scary as our elders. I mean, imagine if you were a 10-year-old trying to book an appointment with Jim. Oh, my goodness. I mean, they were nice people, you know. They were. So I booked this appointment, and I started timidly sharing this kind of stuff, thinking this is what I'm thinking they might sort of say to me, oh, wow, yeah, that's amazing. Do you know what they said to me? They said, you deceived. God wouldn't speak to you like that. That isn't God. You know? And it just like crushed something inside me. You know, they were trying to be nice, and they said they'd give me some Bible studies to do and things like that to help me on my journey with Jesus or whatever. But they were looking at this kid, I think, and thinking that. And the sad thing was, I nearly did that with someone myself recently who said that they were called something, and I thought, and then I suddenly stopped myself and realised I was doing what they did to me. So there I was, 17, with that. And all this weird stuff started happening around me, as it does now, because those of you know me, stuff happens. But I couldn't work out what was going on at all, because I was deceived, wasn't I? Because my self-confidence would believe that, because I'd already believed that anyway, you know, so they just reinforced that. So I want us now to wind forward 10 years. 10 years, so I would have been 27 at that point. 10 years, I was part of a church in Birmingham at that point, and sitting on the back row, I'd never contributed in a church meeting in my life. Never done anything, you know. I was just there in the back row. And the only thing we're doing was just serving a bit, helping with the youth, and doing a bad job of that because my experience of being a youth wasn't really relatable to teenagers who needed to do normal teenage things, because my experience wasn't normal. So it wasn't going well. And they announced at church... How are we doing for time? Because I'm could go on a bit. They announced at the church that the leadership of the church was changing, a bit like change of buttons here, except there was a new person coming in from the outside, and they were going to introduce this person to us the following week. So turn up, and then who should turn up to be the leader of the church that was being appointed, that was being introduced? But this prophet, Dave Mansell, whose articles I'd read 10 years before, whose stuff had stirred in my heart. And they introduced him. I don't think that was the handover time. I think that was just when they were introducing him. And they introduced him and said, you know, this is Dave. He's going to be taking over the church. We'll hand over to Dave to chair now. And Dave stood up and he said, I want to talk to you about how I'm going to lead this church. He says, I'm going to lead this church by releasing every member into what they're called and what they're gifted to do. That's how I'm going to do it. And he said, and last night I had a dream. And in that dream, every member of the church appeared in front of me. And God showed me what their call was. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start releasing people into their call. Yeah. And I want to start with three people this morning. So these are the three people that I feel God wants me to start with. So I pointed to one person over there who was sort of one of the leaders or whatever and said a load of stuff about them, and then pointed to another guy over there and said something about them. And then he said, and the third person, right at the back there, Gordon Hazelton. Well, yeah, he says, God's called you to be a prophet. And he just prophesied all that stuff over me from 10 years before. You can't believe what that was like. Well, that guy became like a spiritual father to me from that point. He mentored me and helped me and supported me, got me preaching at the church, got me doing stuff. And it was an amazing time with Dave for the number of years that he was there. And after a number of years, he left. There was sadly a falling out with the leaders of the church, and Dave decided to step down and move on. And the people who were left, them and I, we just didn't connect, you know, we were like this. And it was an awful wilderness time for me, for must have been four or so years, till one day, God just spoke, and I won't go into that because I've got more to say, about moving to Worcester. So actually called by God, and there was supernatural stuff that happened that brought us to Worcester. So we turned up at a church called Church of the Valley. And they won't mind me saying so. That was what this church used to be called. Jim was on his journey to Birmingham at that point. He's exile. And turned up 20 years ago, and it was awful, okay? Let's just be honest. It was awful. Rich and Debbie were lovely. They hadn't been there that long, hadn't you? And Rich and Debbie and a few others were lovely, but it was awful. Do you remember it, Margaret? Yeah? It was, there'll be about three or four people worshipping, with someone with a guitar at the front. You couldn't hear them. A lot of people didn't speak to you. It was just awful. So went along for a few times. I thought, this is the last Sunday we're going there. They're going to find somewhere where I can connect, fit in, people that I can relate to, that sort of stuff, because there were other churches in the city where I've got connections. Sat there in the thing, and this is what God said to me, and this is the important bit. He said to me, you can go and join one of those other churches and have friends, connections, get on with people, be happy, fit in, enjoy it, enjoy the services or whatever. Or you can stay here and fulfill my destiny and call for your life. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. Yeah? But, whoa. Yeah? Remember what God had called me to when I was 17. That's what he was saying to me. You can stay here and fulfill that. So there I was. So decided to do that, and went on. And you know, wasn't particularly asked to do anything. When I was with Dave, you know, I was one of his boys, if you like, or the prophets or whatever. And it was went on for a while, and it was okay. And the church was not that brilliant, and Jim wasn't there. And it was after a while, I was walking along one day in the fields and said, I'm really frustrated. I feel you called me. Do you promise me this stuff? What's happening? And I felt God say to me, bang, you know, when God speaks to you, bang. I felt him say, no one wants to hear what you've got to say, but they do want to hear what I've got to say. Give yourself to seeking me. I then had a dream, and in this dream, I was going into this big, tall building, got in the lift, went all the way up to the top, to the penthouse at the top, and got there, and the light was all on in the penthouse at the top, and then looked out of the window of the penthouse, and down below, hard to see, there were the leaders and elders of the church, working away, serving and looking after people and doing what they do. And I couldn't see what they were doing very clearly, yeah, but they were doing stuff. But then I realized I could see right over there what was there, what was coming, what was there. And I felt God say to me, that's what I'm calling you to be in this church, to be like eyes to see what's coming. You won't know all the stuff that's going on, that's there, so you'll miss stuff that they're doing, but I want you to do that. And so that's how I've been serving for the last 20 years. That's what I felt my call is, until just over a week ago when I felt God say, start preparing for a move of the Spirit. And I just feel God's just doing something, and I don't know why I felt to share that, but I felt to share it because God has called people. And you might have had someone tell you you're deceived. You might have had someone knock you. But you know what? God has brought you to this place for a purpose. Yeah? God, and that's the final P. What's your journey? It will be different to mine. But God is preparing you for his purpose, to fulfill what his purpose is. This now, and this is what I almost dare to say, is this now the season where God is about to fulfill what the prophets were talking about in the 1980s? What they, you know, is that what it's going to be like now? Is this now the time? Or is that just a teenager's dream that's turned into a fantasy? Is God about to start moving in this city when turning many, many people to Jesus? Or is that just some middle-aged bloke fantasizing about what he dreamed of as a teenager? And has God called us for that? Has God possibly brought us for that purpose? And if that's true, if that's the case, if now really is the time for something to break out and happen in Worcester, and that we've been given this granary, and we as people have been brought here for that time, then that sort of church isn't looking for the mega superstar leader to be standing at the front to making it all happen. That sort of church is where it involves everyone fulfilling their purpose and call. Every single person that's been brought here fulfilling the destiny and call that's on their lives. Jim might be taking the helm, but Jim's role is to release and equip the saints. Yeah? It isn't to be the superstar preacher. Yeah? Trying to do that across five congregations, yeah? It's, you know, he worked on his own a lot of the time in the granary, but in the next phase, he's not going to work on his own. Yeah? He's going to have a whole team working there, and that's what God is calling it, and that's what I want to just encourage. What dreams have you had in the past that you've just dismissed? Yeah? Were they an actual dream in the night or a vision? Or something, well, that can't be me, because I'm just a spotty little teenager and I'm insignificant, and that can't be God calling me to that. Maybe it was. Maybe it was. Or maybe you're a lot more confident and stuff, but yeah. What's God called you for? Because at least 50% of the people who've been here weren't here 5 years ago. God's brought you here for a purpose. And I don't believe that purpose is to fill the seats in the 1115 congregation so Jonathan isn't talking to himself. Yeah, I believe it's so that God has got people and he wants you to be thrust out into this city and into this community. Yeah, what are the prophetic words that have been spoken over your life? Yeah, that you might have forgotten, got lost in stuff. Just like when I was preparing this and got emotional when I remembered that stuff from when I was 17. I remembered Dave's articles that had gripped me, and I thought, hang on, is this the time? Is this the time? Yeah, what are the prophetic words over your life? What is God? What are the things that have been squashed in you? Yeah? What are the things that have been squashed in you? And there's part of me that wants to start prophesying over people because it's in my DNA, but I just feel that God wants, that would then exclude people that don't get a word, and I just feel God wants to speak to everybody. Yeah? So I'm going to have to trust that as I'm speaking now, words are dropping into your heads directly from God. Yeah. And I'm just going to finish right now. There we go. Dead on time. With this statement. Following Jesus is not about fulfilling your dreams and being who you want to be. And, you know, like in society now, they talk about, you know, oh, be who you want to be, fulfill your dreams. It's actually about finding out what Jesus' dream is for this time and for this season, and then finding what your place in it is. That's what being a follower of Jesus is. And I submit this to you as a word that I believe God's given me, and I just submit that over to you.
Just think it'd be good to kind of pause for a minute and not just kind of rush into the next thing.